You're listening to Blue Yonder with your hosts, Jim Jones, Peter Streets, and introducing Aaron Hubbard.
Okay, we're back with another cast, another intro.
Could you bring the enthusiasm?
That's the enthusiasm that I can muster for an intro.
Let me look at my control board here. Is there an enthusiasm level? Yes, I'm going to move it from -3 to 5.
Hey, we're back with another show.
Back down at 3.
Hey, everybody, we're back with another show. This is Aaron Hubbard here.
What? No. I've got it reversed.
This is Jim Jones. How's it going?
And I'm Aaron Hubbard.
Oh, God. This intro is brutalizing our listeners. Who's what? What's going on? I have no idea.
What's on second? All I know.
Yes. Who is on first? And this is Blue Yonder. I don't know what we're talking about this week. We have kind of a...
Another potpourri
random
cast?
Pile. Yeah. A random steaming pile of stuff to talk about.
We got some news on the badass front. We just saw the movie The Fighter. We're going to talk about that. We've got some listener feedback. We have a contest winner to talk about. We have shocking development in the concluded war against personal arrogance. They're wanting to open that back up.
Yeah. We need to talk about whether or not we're going to allow it.
I'm not going to waste time on a 3-minute hate with these guys.
Here's the thing. We obviously scared them a little with the 2-minute hate.
Let's get our cast over with before we get into this.
Get it over with? The listeners want to know. It's pertinent information.
It needs to come into that.
Well, I probably should have opened my notes.
Do you ever feel like you get a bubble caught in your voice box and it like changes the octave and inflection of your voice?
Yeah, all the time.
What the fuck happens with that?
And it's totally noticeable too, because some things like the change with your voice are only noticeable to you, like in your head, but that's one of those things where everyone can tell.
Yeah, right. I'm not in puberty. I'm like 20 years outside of puberty.
I just swallowed weird. Don't worry.
God, I'm old. Oh.
Yep. Old dude.
So what do you want to do first, Fighter?
Old dude on the cast. No, I've got something that I saw the other day that I wanted to talk about.
Lay it on me, brother.
It's this news story about a product that Sega is coming out with. Sega has been known for some interesting products. This might be the most interesting to date. It is a product, a video game product called the Toilet, T-O-Y-L-E-T. And what this is...
I'm not laughing. Do you see my face?
You'll laugh. What this is a video game system at urinals controlled by your pee. So... The harder you pee, like, okay, for instance, I'm not even
accuracy,
kidding.
See, we're just going for pressure.
Exactly.
We're
I'm
measuring
not even kidding.
Prostate
there,
strength.
There is a sumo wrestling-like game where you spray milk from your nose, and the amount of milk that is sprayed from your nose against your opponent, you're trying to push him, push the milk into his face.
So I'm peeing.
So you're peeing.
And that's making... Milk shoot out of my avatar's nose?
Yes, at another avatar who's also shooting milk back.
Are we sure that's supposed to be milk?
There are bottles, but no, we're not sure.
It's the Japanese, I'm assuming we're talking about here.
Absolutely. Who else?
Whoa.
Yeah, and so the pressure of your pee controls how much milk's coming out of your nose. The object is to hit the other guy in the face with your milk. So you're standing next to this dude at the urinal, pissing, grunting. I mean,
so
how many
people
playing
against the guys aside from you?
It's like a Daytona setup where you're playing with the dudes next to you.
Whoa! So I'm shooting white stuff in the guy next to me that I'm playing with.
Awkward.
A little bit.
And there's going to be global leaderboards, and it's got like RPG elements where you level up your dude.
Well, I'm not bragging, but I can pee into a second story window. from the ground level,
from the basement,
from the basement, from sitting in the you know, the service lift that they have.
Yeah,
I go
yeah.
down two floors down, pee into a second floor story window.
That's impressive. And how do you know this? That's my question.
I've done it. Someone pissed me off on a second floor once, and that
so
was
so you pissed them off.
Yeah, they had a warm apple pie cooling on the window.
I pissed
on their Pop Tart pie.
But this is amazing to me. Like, and there are other games,
well,
too, but
you know,
that was the most ridiculous.
It's actually
one.
Kind of interesting because I heard that there was a bar someplace that had an experiment where they put targets in the urinal.
Yeah.
Like, out of the urinal cake, they made a targeting pattern. Mm. And they found that, because you've ever been into a urinal in a bar, it's disgusting.
Sure.
Like, there's piss on the floor, piss yeah. on the walls, piss on top. I don't know how guys do it. I think it's deliberate in their jackholes.
Sure, yeah.
But if you, apparently you give these jackholes something to aim at, the amount of urine that gets on the floor and everywhere else decreases dramatically.
I can believe that. The problem with this is it's all about pressure. It's not about aim. So they are just going to be spraying as hard as possible.
Obviously, if they're pissing on the walls or floor, it's not going to record that. It's recording rate of flow, so they have to get it in the urinal. I think this will...
Yeah, but the splashback's going to be worse. Here's the other thing. Like, guys...
No one ever thinks of the splashback.
No one ever does. Guys are going to be going into the urinals now, going up to the urinals when they should be going to the stalls. And they're going to realize, I've got a shit halfway through this.
Oh.
But the guy next to him is spraying milk in their face.
Oh, no.
And they're just going to press harder, and there's going to be some bad news happening.
I think that's how... Because we talked about our bathroom pet peeves, and I said my number one... was those, you know, when
this
people,
is how you solve it?
Yeah, well, I mean, that explains the mystery of the people that pee and then run in and take a crap in the toilet.
Yeah, now those people will feel right at home. They'll be normal.
I don't know. They're going to have to wear adult diapers because you're just basically saying, I can't let that guy push me off the ledge with the milk shooting out of his nose. I got to keep...
Full release.
Yeah.
You don't want that. Anyway, so yeah, that was...
Did you just say full release?
No, I said full release.
Okay.
What of it?
This cast is... We should do this stuff at the end of the cast, really, because I think people... We start off with an audience of several hundred people, and by the last... When the anime Noguchi rolls at the end, it's just Staffa and Peter listening.
It's me, yeah. Like, that's it. So, no, dude, I think people like this stuff more than anything.
I don't know.
Anyway,
Blue Yonder, the podcast that guarantees full release.
So yeah, we were talking about the fighter. We went and saw that today. We're going to bring it down. We're going to bring the levels
down.
Yeah,
I was going to say, Whiplash.
Turn that insanity meter down a little bit on the trolls there.
Boost enthusiasm a little bit.
Yep. The fighter.
So this was a true story, and I get the opinion that it's more
based
true.
Based on a true story.
But I get it's probably more true than most based on true stories.
Yeah.
Because I got to say, at the end of the movie, they show the two actual guys that the movie's about, Mickey and his brother Dickie, which that's a bad combo.
Mickey and Dickie.
Here comes Mickey and Dickie down the street.
That's worse than, like, Huey, Louie, and Doofus or whatever
his name
was.
Huey, Louie, and Dewey, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The Scrooge brothers? The Scrooge boys.
Yeah.
Huey Scrooge, Dewey Scrooge.
Yep.
God, what the hell? Did we get to... We just talked about
Mickey and Dickie
full release. Now we're talking about DuckTales.
Sure,
that's not right.
People love it.
I kind of feel like it was based more on a true story. First impression I got is, holy God, the women in New England are ugly. Townie chicks in New England are rough. their intellect levels, their speaking habits, their hair and grooming choices. It's like, I thought the Jersey Shore girls were rough, but man, they got nothing on Townie girls.
No, I totally agree there.
Who was Charlene? Is that the girl from The Office?
Yeah, she was a purse sales girl or whoever. Who dated her? Somebody dated her. Did Jim date her for a while?
I thought she was actually the girl from The Office. Like Pam? What?
No.
She's not
Pam.
The receptionist?
No, there was another girl on there who looked exactly like Pam. And when Pam left briefly, I think they got her as a replacement or something.
Okay. I thought she looked like her. But it's just weird that other than Charlize Theron in Monster, I've not seen a more attractive woman sell all out to look unattractive. Like, I feel like they're like, okay, you got the part. We like your dramatic range. Now, here's what we want you to do.
I don't know.
Go home for 6 weeks and eat nothing but Twinkies. Sit on the couch. Don't wear any makeup. Don't do anything to your hair. You know? It's like, they just...
I don't know. I mean, she's from the area, right? So she's obviously, if she's going to be a step above the other people, it's not going to be that big of a step.
That's
it's
true.
Not going to be a giant leap for mankind.
Don't get me wrong. I would have sex with her. I thought her body was attractive. I'm
sure,
just saying
she's very attractive. Although I don't know that she's that attractive on the whole, even when she's like movie star made up.
No.
Like, I mean, she's attractive, no doubt.
Yes.
But
no, she's not.
She's no Charlize Theron.
No,
Charlize Theron cleans up, like...
But did you see her in Monster?
I did.
Oh, my God. It's shocking.
It's insane, yeah.
So, but anyway,
you know who was shocking in this?
What?
Is
Batman. Bale?
Christopher Lloyd, or whatever his name is.
Let me just say this. That guy, what he does to his body has to be unhealthy.
Totally.
I mean, go from the Sheenus to Batman to this, where like...
And he was emaciated in that one...
he wasn't emaciated. He just changed his body structure. Like, he was this lanky, muscular dude. In Batman, he's this broad, muscular... I mean, he's changed his body shape
three times. A movie that he did where he was totally emaciated.
The Machinist. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, he's like a Holocaust survivor.
Yeah, yeah.
Not special effects. He was like a skeleton.
Oh, yeah. He dropped like 60 pounds or something insane for that.
And then he did Batman, The Dark Knight afterwards.
Yeah.
It's like he... I don't know what that's got to do to his body. And then he did John Connor, where he's beefy.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like he wasn't emaciated. He was just he changed his body build. He kind of like Will Smith changed his body shape between Independence Day and all that crap. And then he did Ali.
Then he just
bulked the F up.
Yeah.
And now he's kept that body.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, how you can really change your entire body type.
Yeah.
Like, when you go all out and you work out like those guys do for months on end, you really do change your body type. And that doesn't go away hardly ever.
To go back to the way
what Christian Bale did here,
I kind of feel
impressive.
Like to get to the Machinist level in this, he just like sat in a coffin and got fed a 500 calorie a day diet. Just like his muscles atrophied. And
yeah, it's impressive, no doubt.
So, I mean, Tom Hanks.
But even like his acting in this is amazing. He
just disappears in a role.
Yes. I don't even think this is Christian Bale. This is the guy who did Batman. I'm thinking this is a character in this movie. This is a guy who exists in real life.
And then when you saw the real dude at the end, it's like you really appreciate it. Like, this guy nailed it.
Yeah.
Everything about it.
Absolutely. And I thought, what's his name? Mark Wahlberg. Marky Mark.
Mm-hmm.
I've always... Well, let's not say always, because
like
he wasn't New Kids on the Block. I have always been a fan of him.
No, he wasn't. He had the Funky Bunch.
Oh, that's right. The Funky Bunch. His
brother
Donnie.
Yeah.
Now he's in Saw. no, but Marky Mark did a phenomenal job in this movie. I thought he did a great job.
I was saying that this wasn't... That he did not star in this movie.
No, he didn't start. He did what he needed to do.
Who's the girl that was in the play?
Sean
Charlene?
Connery.
No,
no, I don't know.
Sean Connery.
I don't know her name.
Roger Moore and Christian Bale.
Yep.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger star. They carried this movie. Marky Mark.
No,
was...
I think Marky Mark did what he needed to do.
I don't know.
Because like in Invincible, he does about the same role.
Yeah.
I feel like
he's like this in every movie he's in.
He really is. I mean, he doesn't have much range, I don't think.
Right.
But he cast himself in movies where he can play it.
Yeah, there's guys like Christian Bale and Matt Damon who can become any role, any character, and be a leading man. And then there's guys like Tom Cruise and Mark Wahlberg, who just play themselves in every movie and sell tickets.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying one's better than the other. I think one's harder than the other. And what Bale and Damon do are amazing, but I think that's just his mold. He plays himself. He is kind of a townie from Boston.
And he does play the Boston character a lot. He played it in Departed, didn't he?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing I want to touch on is just how awful this family is.
Oh, no, dude. I absolutely hated. Like, you were over there chuckling at their antics. I was not. I was sitting there like, I want to fucking kill these people. I hate what they are doing to this guy.
Yeah, they were holding him back.
Not just holding him back. They were... fucking him up, like, mentally. They were destroying this guy.
And the thing, and they were claiming that these other people that were trying to actually help him are going to do the very things that they are doing to him.
Yes. And when he told off Charlene, was that her name?
Yeah, yeah.
When he said, you are acting just like these people, he's 100% right. She was turning into them.
Yeah, I think
100%.
It's like, you can't be that uncompromising, you know? I think he basically had to tell everybody in his life, you know, I'm tired of you all running things. I'm going to run things.
Yeah, and at that point, he had had his realization. I think Mark Wahlberg does a lot of movies about points of realization, like in not Planet of the Apes, but in Invincible. He had the realization that he could do this, that he didn't have to settle for this crappy life that he was going down.
Right.
And in this movie, he does it again. He has this moment of realization. These things happen around him, and he goes, look, I don't have to do this anymore. I'm sabotaging myself. The people around me are hurting me. I'm going to step out of this. And he does that. And at that point, he had that realization, and I think he was able to see far more clearly than anybody around him that this wasn't about them, and they thought it was. It was about him.
Right, and he did need his brother's boxing insights.
Exactly, and he knew that they didn't. They were trying to make him stick to this promise he made when he couldn't see clearly.
Yeah, they started believing that they're the ones that got him here. He's like, no, I'm the guy in the ring, and I need you, and I need you, and I need you.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty... Yeah, that's pretty good. Let's talk about the actual boxing.
Okay.
It's so good to see... I mean, I don't know how exaggerated this was, his strategy of just letting, you know, absorbing punishment and letting the other guy punch out. I know that's a semi-practical boxing strategy, but I don't think it's practiced to that extreme where you just basically cover up and get hammered for eight rounds.
Because he took some beatings, regardless of being covered.
But I do like the fact that it wasn't the Rocky style, gloves at belt level, training haymakers, like brutal haymakers. They emphasize the body shots and how devastating those can be.
And I noticed when he was working the bag, like the speed bag, he was actually doing that.
Yeah.
And from what you've said, that's very difficult.
That, what he was doing that, the hand over, hand over.
Just demonstrate on the mic.
Yeah, like,
please.
When he was doing that, that is freaking extremely hard to do.
Okay.
And he was really, that's also struck me as very realistic, the way the training regimen they were doing. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's boxers just seem to invent ways to torture themselves.
Yeah.
Because not only is it getting them in shape, but it's accustoming them to work with being uncomfortable and in pain.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, I think that's the unique thing about a boxing workout. It's similar to, like, special forces training. And it's not the goal is to get you in shape and sculpt your body. It's also to inflict pain.
Sure.
To get you to love pain. To be like, you know, because I thought that was another interesting thing. Because there is an honest to God professional boxer in my boxing class. Mm-hmm. And the way he moves, and like Marky Mark.
Do it.
Double M. Mark Wahlberg had this look in his face after one particular, like in the middle of this one particularly grueling session where he just started grinning. And like Chris at the boxing class does that too, where he's getting his ass, like he's like starts to enjoy it.
See,
like,
there's a
sick phase part of him.
Marky Mark has the build like a boxer would. I mean, he's a thick dude.
Yeah.
Like, this, I believe that in real life he trains like that.
Well,
so
I heard
he
that,
probably
like,
was having fun training for this movie.
And I heard that he was trying to make this movie for 5 years, and he stayed in workout shape and did boxing workouts and worked at the gym for the whole time while they're trying to get the money to make this movie.
Maybe. So that's why he stayed in shape after Planet of the Apes. He's just, God, I've got to make this movie.
I want to do this boxing movie. But yeah, I thought that, and the way he moved, like, you know, even in doing the shadow boxing, it looked very real as opposed to some of the crap you see in Rocky. Which is a different type of awesome. It's just not a good boxing movie.
Sure, it's an inspirational
flick. Yeah.
I was going to comment about boxing. Like, I noticed when they were showing the final scene, like the showdown, of course, it comes at every boxing movie.
Mm-hmm, right.
I really felt the energy, and I was trying to think of another sport where they could film this to where I'd really feel that energy, and I really couldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, there is no other sport where you've got people screaming at you what to do.
No, they say, like, in a big UFC or a big heavyweight fight, that the buzz in that room is better than, like, the Super Bowl. It's better than
it's gotta
NBA Finals, because that, like, the people are far. They're on top of
you. They really are.
And they're screaming for blood. I mean, it's a blood sport.
Yeah, there is a row for people to walk between you and the ring if you're in the front row.
That's why I wish we'd gone to the UFC fight when it came here, even though it turned out to be a lousy card. I think going in and cheering on Lytle would have been amazing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm sure that guy got a lot of cheers.
Oh, I bet the field house was rocking.
Yeah.
Are we about done on this?
No, I think I have one other thing I wanted to say about it, but I need to get my notes.
The professionalism of Jim Jones.
Absolutely. One thing I did notice, you've heard about all of these birds dying mysteriously, right? Like in Arkansas.
How is this related to the boxing movie?
You'll see.
Okay. No, I haven't heard this.
You haven't? Okay. No. So anyway, in Arkansas, there's been hundreds and hundreds of birds just dying.
Because the state's so lame.
The state is extremely lame.
Second leading state for bird kills, death due to boredom, Washington.
Washington.
Just neck and neck with Arkansas. But Arkansas finally pulled ahead in the last month of 2010.
And I've driven through Arkansas at 2 in the morning. It is a hellacious drive.
Oh, yeah. The only thing worse is maybe Nebraska.
I've never been to Nebraska. Thank goodness.
Just drive out in a cornfield and then imagine that for 8 hours.
Okay.
Nebraska is what people think Indiana is like.
Yeah, that's probably accurate.
And I'm not sticking up for Indiana because we're kind of like that. But Nebraska is. It's just a giant cornfield.
Absolutely. Anyway, so birds have been dying left and right in Arkansas. And I was thinking, when I saw the preview for Battle LA, I was thinking maybe this is a viral marketing campaign.
Yeah.
Because they're like, some things happen for a reason, or some things are a sign.
So you think they like sprayed cyanide in the upper atmosphere to make these bird deaths?
Absolutely. I think they've been just running planes with giant propellers, like 6 mile wide propellers, and just chopping them up.
I don't think that would work physically.
I like to think so. I like to think it would.
They got like a million microwaves in a cornfield.
Yep.
And they opened the doors and overrode the safety features and pointed them up in the sky. These birds dropped.
Now we just wait.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm done.
What's the series? Kenmore.
Kenmore. Oh, God.
Bird Death, sponsored by Kenmore.
Battle LA, coming to theaters, 3/11/11.
Yeah, Battle Out. Man, that's a...
Cool.
It does look cool, and I really like that kind of Gears of War style mournful song that they got playing.
What
is that song?
I don't know.
Like the Gears of War was like a Tears for Fear remake, wasn't it? Or cover?
I think it was a Funky Bunch remake.
Feel the Vibrations.
Ace of Base, All That She Wants, I think.
Yeah. That's exactly what it was.
Anyway, wow. Yes, I know what song you're talking about, but I don't know the name of it.
Whatever. Okay.
I'm totally done with the fighter.
Okay. I think the last part wasn't actually about the fighter. You lied.
It was about the fighter. The previous for the fighter.
Okay.
That's our next segment. We're going to see how long the audience will tolerate turns out it's less time than we just talked about it.
It's another comfortable silence.
Oh, boy. Okay, I have nothing else to talk about except for personal arrogance.
Oh, you're not going to do the genetic modification stuff?
No, we were going to save that.
Okay.
Save it for another time.
All right. Let's talk about personal arrogance.
All right.
We declared victory. We had gone 2.5 weeks. We crashed through their enemy lines. We invaded their podcast. We drove them before us and heard their lamentations of their women.
Yep.
And it'd been 2 weeks since we had contact with the enemy. I mean, we were searching their territory. We're pissing on their, you know.
They had gone underground.
Yeah, they'd gone underground. They'd fled.
Yes.
Totally ceded the war.
Yep.
And we declared victory. Rightfully so. We planted our flag
in their capital.
And then we got this transmission that says, whoa, whoa, whoa. We took the holidays off the war.
Yeah. Okay.
That's, you know who else tried that? The British Army.
Got their ass kicked.
They took Christmas off too. George fucking Washington sailed across the Potomac on a silver dollar and kicked their ass.
George Washington sailed across on his wooden teeth.
He built a boat out of those wooden
Uncle
teeth.
Uncle Sam.
And then sailed over and personally kicked those Hessians' ass.
Agreed. Not wise to take the holidays off.
And the headless Christopher Walken was right there by his side. So that's what you get. Matt and Jamie, when you take the holidays off, you get your ass kicked. Now, if you want to try to get back in the fight, we're ready to entertain your offers or your attacks.
We still have our standing army. We are ready to confront you. I think we should probably give them a reprieve from the two-minute hate, though.
Yeah, I'm not putting that much energy into this.
I really feel like their excuse of the holidays. Well, we don't cast. We don't confront people on the holidays.
Should we?
I don't buy it. I think what it is that the modern Seattle man just is not afraid to show his emotions. This is something you can respect. they got offended by our words.
Yeah.
They had to take time to recover from our vicious onslaught.
Right.
I mean, this is something to respect. They're in touch with their emotions.
Their girlfriends and or moms were just panicked after that. After we, bum-rushed them and said the mean words.
They were helping them through the trauma.
Yeah, I got something better than a two-minute hate. It's going to take longer for me to get through than a two-minute
That's
hate.
That's true. They gave us our two-minute hate today.
It's a personal statement that they wanted me to read. I think our listeners, by the end, they'll bring all the hate that they can.
I think so. We promised we would read whatever mail we got on the air, so we're going to.
God help us.
Here we go.
To Blue Yonder. From Matt and Jamie of Personal Eric. Is this Jesse and Eric? Is that their real name? What? I don't get it. Why do they? Why do they use Matt and Jamie?
Email. I think someone who doesn't listen to their podcast.
Well, maybe that's just their show names, Matt and Jamie. Like we're Aaron and Jim, even though we aren't really.
I don't know.
I don't know. It's confusing to Jim and I. I knew you'd do that. To Blue Yonder, I would like to assure the Blue Yonder crew. We're a crew now.
We are.
That we are still at a state of war, but like the good Christian soldiers we are, we refuse to fight during the holidays. The holy days, in fact. A couple of statements.
Yes.
Population does not equal culture. Actually, they use the equal, not equal culture. Using public transportation does not equal experiencing Seattle. No, we did a lot more than ride the ferries and the taxis and the public transportation.
No, I don't want to defend our trip.
No, yeah, you're right.
Our trip stands on its own.
We're reading this verbatim. Now something for A. Ron to read. If you change your mind, I'm the first in line. Honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on me. If you need
me, let me know. Give me some snaps.
Gonna be around. If you've got... Wait, that's fucking me up, man. That's fucking me up. If you got no place to go, if you're feeling down, if you're all alone when the pretty birds have flown, honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on me. Going to do my very best, and it ain't no lie. If you put me to the test, I'll let you... Wait, if you let me try. Take a chance on me. That's all I ask of you, honey. Take a chance on me. We can go dancing, we can go walking, as long as we're together. Listen to some music, maybe just talking. Get to know you better. Because... You know I've got so much that I want to do when I dream I'm alone with you. This is getting creepy.
Are they
it's
professing
magic.
Their love for you here? Is this what's
they
going
already
on?
Did. This is just getting creepy.
Oh, yeah.
You want me to leave it there, afraid of a love affair, but I think you know that I can't let go. If you change your mind, I'm the first in line. Honey, I'm still free.
You may want to change your phone number, Aaron.
So anyway, yeah, this is the stanza again. This is the chorus.
Read it. Read it verbatim.
No, it's a chorus. This is a standard lyric quoting thing.
Oh, we promised. We promised.
Oh, you can take your time, baby. I'm in no hurry. No, I'm going to get you. You don't want to hurt me, baby. Don't worry. I ain't going to let you. Let me tell you now. My love is strong enough to last when things are rough. It's magic. You say that I waste my time, but I can't get you off my mind.
I didn't know you felt that way.
No, I can't let go because I love you so. And then we have the chorus again. Ba 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 ba. Honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on me. Going to do my very best. Baby, can't you see? Got to put me to the test.
Oh God!
What would that test consist of?
Structural integrity. Listening to someone read this email.
Yeah, take a chance on me. Ba 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 ba. Honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on me. Thank you, Jamie or Jesse or something like that.
Okay, prime intellect style. I have a new rule.
Uh-huh.
There is a time limit on emails that can be sent in to be read. 30 seconds or less. Mm. We will no longer...
60. Let's give him 60.
You can read fast, man. 60 seconds is like a couple paragraphs worth of shit.
I don't think... I don't know. I think that's a feature. This is not a bug. It's a feature. They said, P.S., are you guys going to either PAX this year? Is that because they want to rumble?
Could be.
Going to Rumble. I don't know.
Yeah, we're going to PAX. As a matter of fact, we just booked our tickets, our flights.
If you're
going
to Rumble, we need to know, like, what your weight class is. Because I'll have to drop some.
And, they're lightweights.
And I don't know. Matt.
Featherweights.
Matt and or Jamie is supposedly tall.
Tall?
I don't know if he's, like, thickly constructed. They drink a lot of beer. So it's I need to know if I need to come up weight, drop down weight. You know,
unless I don't think you'll have to come up any weight, dude. You're right. You're a tall dude.
When
it comes out drinking them.
Yeah, I gotta get my drinking arm back in the battle mode. Since you moved out, it's come down a little bit.
I bet. Yeah.
I don't like drinking alone.
Okay.
Although the Lord does count. as company.
Anyway, I'm so lost. What were we talking about?
So I think the listeners already hate these assholes.
PAX East. Here we go.
PAX East?
Yeah, we are going to PAX East.
Yeah, what of it?
What? Bring it.
You coming on to the East Coast? That's it's closer to our coast than the West Coast anyway. We'll claim it. East Coast is our territory.
It is.
Yeah.
When we go to Seattle, go to PAX Normal.
That's right.
PAX Prime.
That's their territory.
That's your territory, but you're coming to our territory.
That's right.
You want to rumble? You got to rumble at home, baby.
Mm-hmm. Actually, Gen Con would be our home territory.
Oh, yeah.
They'll
never
come to Gen Con.
They'll never come to Gen Con.
I don't know. The board games are pretty awesome.
Did you know that Gen Con is doing a Blood Bowl extravaganza this year?
I did.
All
not
Blood
know
Bowl
that.
For 24 hours. You guys should come to it.
That would be pretty sweet.
There's no such thing happening.
There probably is, actually. That's
them.
The funny thing. There probably is.
There's a Blood Bowl room.
I'm certain there'd be a Blood Bowl championship of some sort.
Probably.
Oh, God. This is boring. We're being boring.
I agree.
What else we got?
I've got nothing.
We've got a new segment. We're going to call it Staffa's Corner.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, this is what you get when you loyally support our cast and you send in high-quality questions. We're just going to give you a segment, Staffa. And you can rant about whatever you want, and, you know, we're going to riff on that.
Yep.
Staffa sends us a message titled Escalators.
He tends to rant, though. I found that to be
true. He is ranty.
He's a bit ranty.
I like that. I can identify the angry man.
Sure.
Dear Blue Yonder, too many people have no clue how to use an escalator. They were invented to speed up the process of going up and down the stairs. They are not elevators to just stand on. You people who stand on escalators are jerks and probably fat as well. People who like anime are also jerks. So people who stand on elevators love anime. Staffa, I can't argue with his logic there.
Yes, both correlation and causation.
Yeah, it's pretty airtight. Yeah. I got to agree with you. I think
I'll second it.
You want to stand on the elevator, do it to the right.
The escalator, right?
The escalator.
Okay.
You can't pass on an elevator unless you have a Boba Fett. And then why are you taking an elevator? You can just fly up the level. Seriously, if you want to stand on an elevator, do it on the right side so people on the left can overtake you. It's just the same.
That is common courtesy.
It's the same as the Jetson-style belts at the airway. If you just want to ride those people movers, then get the hell to the left side. The right is for fast moving traffic, just like on our great interstate.
And nothing will teach you that faster than trying to stand on one of those without walking at O'Hare. Because people at O'Hare will fucking knock you over.
Good.
They don't give a shit. And I'm one of those people.
Yeah.
Like, you get in my way at O'Hare Airport. No, outside of O'Hare, I'm a mild-mannered person. But I get in O'Hare, and I get mean.
I
will push.
It's a dog-y
I will shove.
Dog.
I will bite. I will curse.
Kick in the junk? Well, and they make it easy, because above the belt, they have a sign. Walk, walk, walk. Stand, stand, stand. On the belt, they actually have 2 feet together, 2 feet apart, with a dotted line in between. They have it at the beginning
of the
belt.
I've seen people actually
try
to put their feet on those footprints and stand there.
At the beginning of the belt, they have the announcer voice saying, the right side is for standing, the left side is for faster
traffic. Loading and unloading.
I mean, come on, people. If you're standing in the left lane, you are just being an asshole.
I agreed, 100%.
So, that's Staffa's Corner. It concludes this.
That is Staffa's Corner. And that's
we'll
it for the show.
We'll have to see. No. We got we actually had a winner. We have one less ninja to give away.
Oh, yeah. Action Jackson is her name,
Action
I think.
Jackson. No, it's not.
Jazz Anamorphics.
It's Jazz Carnation.
Jazz Carnation,
from New York City. or New York at least.
New York City.
That's cool because I was wondering where the traffic was coming from in New York, and now
it's
I know.
All coming from New York.
It's just like the Carolinas. Who the hell is listening to Carolinas?
I don't know, but maybe they can win a Shawnable if they go to our Facebook page and get four.
That's right. What did she get? She got the orange.
The orange one is gone.
Orange gone. It's off the board.
Green, blue, and black are the only ones left.
I kind of thought black would be the first to go.
Because it's ninja colored.
It's ninja colored. It's actually appropriate. So
yeah, some people like
I don't
orange.
Know. Like blue could be Sub-Zero from Mortal Kombat.
I think picking real colors, like kind of out there colors, it expresses your personality. You don't have to go with the black ninja.
And Jazz Carnation's got an orange personality.
Jazz Carnation, yeah. Sounds
she's,
like
she's,
an orange.
She's orangey. Kinda. She's orangey. So how did Jazz Carnation pull this feat off?
Well, she roped some of her friends into liking us on Facebook.
That she roped five of her friends.
Five of her
in
friends.
Particular.
Yeah.
So if you want one of these Shawnable Ninjas featured on the front page of our website, baldmove.com, drag five of your acquaintances on Facebook and have them push the like button. They don't have to listen to our cast.
However, I did notice
that we prefer if they didn't listen to our cast. It's horrifying. Our cast is horrifying.
This one in particular. If you've been listening, rewind and don't listen.
Right. But yeah, so get in there, drag five of your friends, and send us an email and tell us where to ship it, and we will ship that ninja to you.
I'll tell you where to ship it.
That little fluffy ball of death right to you. Now, I think.
Okay, that is the end of the
show.
How
did they contact us if they want a little correspondent piece like Staffa?
If you want your own segment on the show, send an email to blueyonder@baldmove.com, or you can visit our forums at forums.baldmove.com, or Twitter/baldmove, Facebook/17891.
The only way to get this our Facebook site is to go to our main site and click the Facebook icon.
Yeah, what the fuck is with Facebook, man?
I don't. Why can't you get a Facebook.com/baldmove?
Yeah,
I'll pay for it. You hear that,
no.
Zuckerberg?
No.
You hear that, Zuckerberg?
No, I will not pay for it. You can pay for it. I will not.
Did I just not say I will pay for it?
If you want to pay for it,
I pay.
Call him up. And
oh, I'm paying for it. I'm paying for it right now.
God, the audience is too.
Yeah.
That's it. We're cut off.
Putting this cast out of its misery.
1-800, fuck the audience. With that said, until next time, I'm Jim Jones.
And I'm Aaron Hubbard. Ciao.